new legislation seeks to halt ATC furloughs. EASA proposes relaxed instrument ratings. And changing flight plans? Break out your wallet. This is Aero News for Friday, April 26, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Senators John Hovind, Republican of North Dakota, and Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, and a bipartisan group of senators on Wednesday introduced the Dependable Air Service Act. The legislation would give the FAA the flexibility to transfer funds between accounts in order to abate air traffic controller furloughs and avert mounting passenger delays and flight cancellations at America's airports. In addition, the bill would give the Department of Transportation, which administers the FAA, the authority to move funds, if necessary, from other areas of the DOT budget to the FAA to prevent those delays. Dan Coats, Republican of Indiana, was one of the bill's co-sponsors and said, quote, "American travelers and businesses should not have to take the hit for the incompetence and shocking lack of management at the FAA and the DOT. It is inexcusable that the FAA and the DOT failed to plan accordingly and refused to use existing flexibility to minimize the impact on travelers. This legislation will help protect the traveling public by providing the DOT with even more flexibility to prioritize its budget, something it should have been doing all along." End quote. The FAA already has authority to move 2% of its operational budget without congressional approval and 5% with congressional approval. DOT Secretary Ray LaHood has indicated, though, that this flexibility is not sufficient to address the problems, so this legislation provides an additional flexibility that he may need by having access to the DOT budget. The European Aviation Safety Agency has published a proposal to the European Commission containing rules on qualifications for flying in instrument meteorological conditions. In the document called an opinion, the agency puts forward new and more accessible instrument ratings focused on general aviation pilots. The proposed changes are expected to increase safety with regard to the accident category of controlled flights into terrain by establishing a better accessible instrument rating. This will enable more European GA pilots to commence this type of training. The opinion covers requirements for a competency-based instrument rating and an in-route instrument rating for private and commercial pilot license holders. The proposed new ratings will amend the training and checking requirements in the European Commission regulations. More specifically, the proposed competency-based instrument rating course will contain a significantly reduced theoretical knowledge syllabus and a reduced amount of instrument flight instruction time when compared with the existing instrument rating courses. Meanwhile, the in-route instrument rating will allow holders of airplane licenses to gain familiarity with instrument flight rules procedures and cope with unforeseen deteriorating weather conditions in the in-route phase of flight. The opinion also introduces a cloud flying rating for sailplane pilots. The privilege of this rating will allow a sailplane pilot to enter clouds while taking into account the airspace structure, the required minima in different airspace categories, and the relevant air traffic control procedures. Passengers on United Airlines who need to make adjustments to their schedules will be hit with a fee of at least $200 for domestic flights under a new structure announced by the airline this week. The carrier has raised fees on some of its international routes as well. But changing your ticket can cost far more than the basic fee. Time magazine reports that on top of the surcharge for the privilege of changing your ticket, the passenger has to pay the difference between his or her original fare and the new fare at the rack rate. The airlines have been steadily increasing these fees for years. What started as a $50 ding has now turned into a $200 slap. According to the Wall Street Journal, in the first 9 months of 2012, Delta and United collected $1.1 billion just from reservation change fees. Analysts say that it is likely other airlines will follow United's lead in raising the change fees, as is common in the industry. Passengers on some low-fare airlines might find it more cost-effective to absorb the cost of the original ticket and start from scratch rather than to pay the change fee. Southwest Airlines continues to not charge a change fee, but does require passengers to pay the difference between the fares. Paul Hudson, president of FlyersRights.org, has called on DOT Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Michael Huerta to explain to the public why it did not designate FAA air traffic controllers as essential federal employees, making them exempt from the sequestration. He further asked why it has not followed the principle of graceful degradation instead of the across-the-board cuts at choke points like Chicago and New York City, which could cause massive nationwide flight delays. As to what airline passengers can do in this unprecedented situation, Hudson says passengers should check the FAA website at www.fly.faa.gov for real-time delay information by airport as well as their airline before they travel, and report any delays over 2 hours, especially tarmac confinements, to the Flyers' Rights Hotline. That's 1-877-FLYERS-6 or 877-359-3776. Hudson said such reports should include the airport name, airline, flight number, and time of delay and any reason given, as well as the circumstances of the delay. This will enable FlyersRights.org to build a database to advocate for a restoration of normal air traffic control services. Wind Aero News continues. NTSB continues to question the 787. NASA's JPL cancels its spring open house. And will Nebraska's governor get his King Air?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues for Friday, April 26th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB on Tuesday opened 2 days of hearings focusing on the battery fire that occurred aboard a Boeing Dreamliner in January, and to hear from representatives of the FAA, the Boeing Company, GS Yuasa, and Thales about the design, testing, certification, and operation of the lithium-ion battery on the Boeing 787 and the battery fire incident. Reuters reports that NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hersman occasionally had to act as a referee between those asking questions and the witnesses, at one point telling Boeing executives that they should be cautious about giving vague answers to the questions. But both the FAA and Boeing stood behind the certification decision made while the Dreamliner was being designed and built. Mike Sinnott, the Boeing's chief 787 engineer, said that because there was not a larger, quote-unquote, catastrophe aboard the airplane on which the battery caught fire, the process was validated. He did say that the incident showed that the plane maker should go further in challenging test assumptions. The batteries failed at about 60,000 hours of fleet flight time, rather than the 1-in-1,000,000 flight hour odds predicted by the testing. At a news conference following the hearing, Hersman said the testing that was conducted, quote, really did not replicate the worst-case conditions that we saw in the events of January, end quote. It was a terse statement on the events page of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California that announced the cancellation of its spring open house. Quote, due to budget restrictions, plans for a JPL open house in spring 2003 have been suspended. If budget considerations improve, JPL hopes to host an open house at a future date, perhaps as early as fall 2013. Please check back here for updates, end quote. The cancellation, according to Case Dreyer of the Planetary Society, is part of NASA's strategy for offsetting spending cuts under the sequester, according to a report from KNX Radio and KCBS Television. The facility still offers free lectures and public tours, but the tour schedule is currently full. JPL says on its website that the earliest a tour could be booked is September of this year. Those reservations will open on May 20th. After being rejected by the same panel only a few days earlier, the Nebraska Legislature Appropriations Committee restored a $2.2 million line item in the state budget for the purchase of a 2001 Beech King Air, currently owned by the Nebraska University Foundation. The 5-3 vote sends the airplane purchase to the full legislature for debate. While the committee had voted down the purchase on April 8th, the panel reconsidered the vote before passing the budget. One of the senators who changed his vote was John Harms, who said he thinks it is important for the governor to be able to fly to the western part of the state and back, and he had become convinced that owning the airplane would be less expensive to the state than chartering on an as-needed basis. The state currently owns a 31-year-old Piper Cheyenne, which the Department of Aeronautics said is costing the state more each year in repairs and maintenance. Women Venture, Women in Aviation International's collaborative program with EAA, will expand this year to include a group lunch following the photo shoot for all Women Venture participants. The women will go on from Phillips 66 Plaza to the Theater in the Woods for lunch, sponsored by the EAA. Invited lunch speakers include Amanda Wright Lane, the great-grandniece of Orville and Wilbur Wright, and a trustee for the Wright Family Fund of the Dayton Foundation. The addition of the new luncheon expands Women Venture to a full day of activity on Friday, August the 2nd. And the women won't be hard to find, as each is given a free T-shirt. This year, they're raspberry-colored. Women Venture is both a networking resource for female AirVenture attendees and a marketing outreach to attendees who are interested in becoming more involved in aviation. The program is now in its sixth year. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks, as always, for listening. You're now clear for departure.